This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We'll begin today with the appointment of an interim headmaster at Boston Latin School. Mayor Marty Walsh named Michael Contempassis to the post. It's one that he's held before. Contempassis served as the school's headmaster for 22 years, from 1976 to 1998. He's also the former chief operating officer and superintendent of Boston Public Schools. And today, Mayor Walsh had this to say about the longtime BPS educator.
Since I've been the mayor of the city of Boston, he has been on my speed dial in a lot of different situations, helping this office and help us navigate through the school department on some of the big decisions we've had.
The Latin School's previous headmaster, Lynn Mooney Tata, announced her resignation last week amid a federal probe into alleged racial incidents at the school. Walsh made clear that Contempassis is not interested in being the next permanent headmaster, but will serve in the position for the next year. In a moment, we'll get some reaction to the appointment and the road ahead for Boston schools from one of the city's civil rights leaders. We requested an interview with Michael Contempassis today. Boston Public Schools said he'd be unable to join us. However, back in March of this year, we did speak with him in one of the longest and most in-depth broadcast interviews Contempassis had given on the issue of race and Boston Public Schools. Now that he's been named interim headmaster, we thought we'd listen back to an excerpt of that conversation. Remember, he spoke with us prior to this month's resignations of the Latin School's top two administrators. When we spoke back in March, I asked Michael Contempassis for his reactions to the current tensions over race and education at the city's premier exam school.
When something like this continues to fester and it rises to the level that it has in terms of some of the criticism that's occurred in the media, it creates, I think, a somewhat difficult atmosphere in which these students can learn.
Are there specific issues that you're thinking of?
The issue of students feeling that they've been threatened, if you will. That's not generally a term I would use. But if they feel that there have been slights in the school, I don't care where the school is responsible for taking care of those issues. Mm. And I believe that from what I have read and what I have heard, that the school has done that.
But if I may just ask, the Office of Equity's own report said that the most egregious incident that they did confirm was that one student was threatened with a lynching by another student. You know, the student held an electrical cord and said, "I should lynch you with this." And then that was the particular incident that the Office of Equity report says the school completely failed to act on in a meaningful and just way.
Well, I'm not sure that the school failed to act on it. I think in hindsight, there was a lack of judgment in carrying through what should have been done in that case. The case was resolved, but I think what the Office of Equity was pointing out was that the individual who handled the case should have notified the parents on both sides of the equation. Hmm. I think that's a lapse in judgment. I don't think it rises to the level that some have suggested call for the removal of the headmaster.
Mm. But I guess the concern from certain parents of students who have felt threatened or the civil rights leaders who we've talked to on the show is that they believe there is a very tense racial climate at the school that impinges those African-American students, for example, their ability to take most advantage of what's available at Boston Latin because they do feel uncomfortable all the time. So specifically that there's a climate at school that disadvantages certain students.
Well, I would suggest if that is the case, that the solution lies within the school and its extended community. My thinking is that if indeed there is that level of discomfort, the place where it needs to be resolved is within the school itself.
Okay.
Remember, we're dealing with children. We're dealing with children who are influenced by lots of things nowadays that may not be, from our point of view, valuable in terms of getting along with one another. I think it's important that along with the exposure to a rigorous academic program, that one of the advantages of bringing students from all over the city together is that they can learn from one another. And if indeed there are problems, it's the responsibility of that community to address those issues.
So this gets exactly to the point which I'm very eager to explore with you, because many people would say that what you're saying, Michael Contempassis, is absolutely true, that this is a community of young people. But the truth is that the community of young people at Boston Latin does not reflect the community of young people across the city of Boston as a whole. I mean, 20 years ago, 23% of the Boston Latin students were Black. Today, it's just 9%. And the 20 years ago was at the tail end of your tenure as headmaster. So in 1997, I believe, the then superintendent, Thomas Paisant, we found a quotation from him. He said, "This is a major issue of principle and has real implications for where we are going in the next century in education in Boston and other cities, where diversity has got to be a part of the overall education experience for young people who are growing up in an increasingly diverse world." Now, he said that back in 1997, and when you look today and you see that only 9% of Latin students are African American, and that number is lower significantly than when you were headmaster. I mean, are we not failing here in achieving what Superintendent Paisant was talking about?
I guess the issue for me is, how do we address the issue that will result in additional students who are Black and Hispanic choosing to go to Boston Latin School? I don't think that that's necessarily the school's problem. Remember, the school is still racially diverse. I mean, we tend to forget that there is an Asian population there that leads to at least half of the school.
It's about 30%, I think.
30%. Yeah. That's the Asian population.
Yeah.
But if you put the population together, it reaches that 50-50 mark. Now, that doesn't condone the fact that it could do more. But I would suggest that it's not the role and the function of the school alone. The district has to step up. The district must ensure that all of the feeder schools have a commitment, if you will, to quality and rigor for all students. You have seen increases in percentages, I think, at the other two exam schools. I don't know what the percentages are, but I think the percentages, in fact, I know the percentages of Black and Hispanic students probably a bit higher. But the idea here that the school is mandated, if you will, to provide additional access, to me, is a district issue. There is an obligation to see to it that the school reaches out and attempts to attract as qualified a candidate as it can.
Yeah.
And all I'm suggesting is that one of the ways that the school is doing that is by encouraging even larger numbers to sit for the exam. But I do think that this is something that the district has to deal with as well. And part of that is ensuring that all of the elementary feeder schools are up to snuff as well.
That's an excerpt of a conversation we had with Michael Contempassis in March. You can hear the entire interview at radioboston.org, and I highly suggest that you do, because we talked about a lot, including Boston Latin's history with race, including two court cases which changed the school's admissions policies. Michael Contempassis was named interim headmaster of Boston Latin School today. We did request the district for an interview with Mr. Contempassis. He was unable to join us today. Again, we have a link to that March interview at radioboston.org. So let's turn now to Michael Curry. He's president of the Boston branch of the NAACP, and he's been very vocal and active about this issue at race at Boston Latin. Michael Curry, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So first of all, give us your initial thoughts on the choice of Michael Contempassis as interim headmaster. As Mayor Walsh said, he's only going to be there for a year.
I think it's interesting. One, I'm glad he's not permanent, based on the interview you just played. And I think many of us have heard him make comments throughout the process, but that was a nice interview and segment to kind of show the entrenched ignorance around the history of that school and where that school is today, that he would mischaracterize a threat as being something less than that. I think the truth catches up to history. As documents have come out and more data will come out, more information will come out very soon, I hope that he's been briefed in a way that he understands the gravity of not only that case, but many other cases of racism at that school.
So entrenched ignorance is a strong term to use. I mean, others might say that it's simply a different perspective. I mean, I would say that Michael Contempassis knows the history of the school. He was headmaster for 22 years during the period, you know, just after after busing and two cases that we mentioned, two federal cases that changed the admissions policies there.
Well, entrenched makes sense because what people don't know is that the NAACP Boston branch was up there meeting with him in 2007 around racism at Boston Latin School. This is not a new conversation.
With Michael Contempassis?
With Michael Contempassis. There was a case that we were dealing with at that time. The Boston branch president at that time, Karen Payne, Leonard Alkins, longtime NAACP activist, Dr. Joseph Warren, Seti Warren's dad. There was a series of meetings with Lynn Mooney Tata and Mr. Contempassis about racism, disparate discipline, a confrontation between white students and black students at the school and how that was handled. So this is not new. Contempassis is not new to this issue, and many would argue he failed then, which is why we're here now. So I think he owns part of this, and I think it's disturbing for him to think that it's not about the district and the school addressing this issue and the community, because he sort of implies that it's the school, that the school community that needs to sort of look inside. What I often say to him is, you got to remember that the NAACP has been here on these equity issues since the beginning of the school system and our entrance in the school system. So we are part of that community.
So the question of the district, I want to come back to you with that in just a second, but I want to play a little bit more tape from Mayor Marty Walsh at the press conference today when he announced Mr. Contempassis as interim headmaster. And he said that one of the reasons why he was happy for this appointment was on setting the right tone with Boston Latin School. So let's listen.
We have a real opportunity here in the city of Boston to again, once again, set the tone for the rest of the country on how to deal with challenges that come up.
That's Mayor Marty Walsh today. Michael Curry, in addition to this question of tone, I've been hearing a lot from, you know, families of Boston Latin who say that what the school needs now also is stability, at least, you know, in the interim as these major issues get dealt with. And is it not possible that someone who knows the school as well as Michael Contempassis does bring that stability?
Yeah, I've said publicly that we're cautiously optimistic. I think that he knows the history. He knows the school. He understands what's necessary to keep the school at the place that it is in terms of academic rigor and so forth. That's not our issue, though. We just want to have an honest conversation about his history around the race issues at the school, and that if he is going to take over, at least in this interim period, let's just be honest that he has some blind spots, too, about race at that school. So I'm looking forward to having a conversation with him. So hopefully he's been briefed on the cases that clearly he didn't know about that go beyond the threat, that go to teachers who use really culturally incompetent things when it was said in class, to how black students are treated with less egregious incidents than we have with the threat, and they've been suspended. So I think hopefully the mayor, the superintendent, and others have gotten him in a room and say, hey, where you were when this interview happened with this station, now let's brief you on how much has happened at that school that you should know about. And then now we can have a conversation about moving forward. Mm. I'm just concerned that I hope he's not as ignorant to the history of that school when it comes to race as he was when he did that interview.
Have you yet had a chance to reach out and set up a meeting with him now that he's interim?
No. So this all happened over the course. I talked to the mayor yesterday. I talked to me and the superintendent have been playing phone tag. So I'm expecting that there'll be a series of meetings that he should have with the parents, alumni, students. And I'm hoping that he understands the important voice that the civil rights community, the parent and student activists play in this as well. This is all of our school. I have to remind people, this is not a private school, Mr. Contempassis, Dr. Lynn Mooney Tata. This is a public school that we all contribute to, that is taxpayer dollars, that quite frankly is the gateway for black and brown students to go to the best colleges, graduate schools, the boardrooms and law firms. And we care as much about the access to that school as anyone does.
Well, so to be fair, though, Michael Curry, I don't think anyone, Michael Contempassis, Lynn Mooney Tata, anyone has ever even suggested that we should think about Boston Latin as a private school. Everyone's always talked about it as the premier exam school.
The reason I mentioned they treat it like a private school, which is the outside voices. They should stay out of this. Only a private school would say that. a public school knows that this is our school. The network of public schools are all our schools. If there's an issue with kids not having access, with there being a quality issue, that's where we all come to the table and figure out how to fix it. So I think that the rhetoric out of the faculty, out of the former headmaster, even out of the interview as you just did, was really about people just letting us deal with it. There's no us in the public school system. There's an all of us. There's a broader definition of us. And I wanted them to know that parents, whether their kid goes to Boston Latin School or not, that live in Roxbury or West Roxbury, have an equal vested interest in making sure that gateway stays open for all of our kids.
So let's talk about that, because Michael Contempassis in March did, you know, as you just heard from the excerpt, he did mention this, and I know you've talked about it here at this table as well, like that there is a role here to play at the district level, that if the district isn't doing a good job or good enough job at supporting all students who wish to aim for Boston Latin, then that's a problem, because one of the most successful long-term solutions has got to be to have this exam school reflect the district as a whole.
I think that people who want to have this conversation but have not done their homework would misunderstand the conversation. It is all of the above. It is about making sure that the academic rigor of the feeder schools is there. It is about the reality that many of the parents who put their school kids in that school have taken them out of the district, put them into programs and schools that actually have more competitive programs, and then brought them back to the school system to compete and be in that school. It is also about the prep courses. We've seen the data that those prep courses go considerable, a long way in getting students prepared to then do well on the exam. That kids of color have lack of access to that exam, those exam prep courses. What I said is, when the consent decree was in place and it was legally required for there to be a higher threshold, as you've said, the high academic roof didn't fall in then. So what makes us think that all those African-American students that existed when he was superintendent or as headmaster of the school all of a sudden disappeared? There's not as many smart black and brown, black and Hispanic children. No, there is an access barrier to the school. And that if they were to open up the doors to more black and brown students, the ceiling would still stay high. And we would have more black and Hispanic, along with more Asian students, going on to, as I said, to the best careers, the best academic institutions, and coming back with that talent. Yeah. Right now, that window's closed for us. And that's a whole nother conversation, but one we're ready to have with the school district.
Now, finally, in just the last couple seconds we have, you mentioned a couple minutes ago that more information would be coming out about incidences or alleged incidents at Boston Latin. What did you mean specifically?
So we've been conducting this investigation. People should know this did not start with Maggie and Kylie's video in January.
Those are the two original students.
Correct.
Who posted on social media.
A year ago. Over a year ago, we got a call about racist tweets and some racial hostility to the school. This was February 2015. We called the Office of Equity. We called the superintendent and asked for, at that time, under McDonough, that they engage and look into this. I was asked to be a guest speaker at the school sometime in October. When I got to the school, the students told me, no, Mr. Curry, they have not done anything to respond to our issues, and we're still feeling equally as frustrated with this administration here at the school. I then reached back out to folks to have a conversation about what was happening to the school. So it was a trust that we thought they had taken this seriously. So by January 16, when all of a sudden Maggie and Kylie released the video, now there's a flood of complaints that's been coming into our office. Mm. So there are other incidents that we've talked about, like the young black girl who the white teacher walks up to and says, "What's up, my N?" Now, some people get that wrong and they say, well, maybe she meant it
as
an N-word. In front of the rest of the class. And some people would take that and say, well, maybe she meant it for a good reason. I say to them, okay, what if I'm your male teacher and your daughter walks in the room and I say, what's up, B? Or if I think your child is LGBTQ and I say, what's up, pick the offensive word, or Jewish. There is no doubt that there would be people marching up from West Roxbury protesting my statement, no matter what the intention, because it was culturally incompetent. There are other instances where black students who've done supposedly violent things or threatening things were suspended immediately. So there is an inequity that's not just at Boston Latin School, it's across the district and across the country, where if black or brown kids do things, they're suspended. When it's a non-black kid or non-Latino kid, it's, well, you know, we don't want to call the police. We don't want to notify the parents. And that's what happened in this case.
So, I mean, are these other incidents, are they going to come out through an NAACP report or through the Justice Department's inquiry?
Both. So we've been feeding them to the Justice Department, and we always start with the Office of Equity. That's the way this investigation should start. We go to them first.
Michael Curry, he's head of the Boston branch of the NAACP. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And once again, go to RadioBoston.org and listen to that long interview we had with Michael Contempassis back in March. We talked about the racial climate at Boston Latin School, about the district as a whole, and the history of race at Boston Latin School. That's at RadioBoston.org. Mayor Marty Walsh named Michael Contempassis as interim headmaster at the Latin School today. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.